Would everybody turn in your Bibles today to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I want to read and preach from a portion of God's Word that I've preached from many, many times. And we keep coming back to this portion, and rightly so. I just love to preach from this chapter because it deals with the power of God and His ability to transform people's lives and to cast out demons in people's lives and to set people free. And God's able to do that, and I love to preach this passage. Verse number 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Mark. The Bible says, "And as they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we're many. And he besought him much that he had sent them away out of the country. And there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, that's 2,000 hogs that never made it to the market, in case you haven't figured it out. 2,000. 2,000 hogs went over the cliff, got drowned that day. But there's more to this passage than just the message of the hogs. And that's what we want to bring out in just a moment. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you today for the service that we've already enjoyed, the good music. And now, my Father, I pray your blessings today upon the preaching of your word. But now bless the preaching of the word of God today. Speak to hearts, save those that are here lost. And may we that have been saved, may we rejoice in what you've done in our lives. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in chapter number 4, if we compare that with chapter number 5, we have some wonderful linkage in terms of what God had done. I'm talking about what Christ had done. In John chapter 4 and chapter 5, we find that he had power over the wind and the waves. Of course, that was in the last chapter. You compare the two chapters, you see him dealing with people, helping people, restoring lives that have been ruined, and doing a work of grace in people's hearts and lives. In fact, in this chapter, chapter 5 that we're looking at here, there's a demonized man, there's a diseased woman, and there's a dead child that he deals with. Now, there's something interesting to say about those three characters. The diseased woman was 12 years in the process of dying, because she had that issue of blood. She had that illness that would take her down. She was 12 years in the process of dying. Then in this same chapter, there's a child who is 12 years old, and that child dies, and Jesus restores his life back to him. So he was 12 years in living. 12 years in living. Then we have this account here of this man who is controlled by demon forces. And Jesus Christ comes to where he is and casts those demons out. And that man is restored and desiring to follow the Lord after that. Now imagine though, When you think today, you compare today medical research, you compare today what's happening in hospitals, and thank God for the many good doctors out there. And thank the Lord today for the medical assistance that a person can get. I'll tell you one thing, if I was going to have cancer, I'd rather have it in 2018 than 1918. Because we can rejoice today in medical research. But you see, there's something here far beyond medical research. In fact, try to imagine this. Try to imagine Jesus visiting hospitals. Try to imagine Him going in and out of wards, visiting the men and the women and the children in hospitals. In all cases, He would be totally successful as a physician, because every person that He would touch would be restored. And He'd have 100% average when it came to the matter of restoration, if that would be the choice that God would take if Jesus would visit hospitals on a healing mission. Because He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, today we're thankful for good hospitals and thankful for good doctors. In fact, the five leading hospitals in this nation is the Cleveland Clinic, the Massachusetts General Hospital, the UCLA Medical Center, the Mayo Clinic, and Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, which happens to be number one, the Johns Hopkins. So, thank God today for what has happened in the term of medicine, in the field of medicine, to help people out. But let's face it, only Jesus can treat all problems. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, thank God there's coming a day He's going to heal completely. Every person today that's been saved by God's grace is going to one day experience perfect healing, because our bodies one day will be restored. But many doctors, though, they don't have a clue. They can't do it all. Even with their degrees, even with their backgrounds, doctors cannot do but so much. I heard of a man one time that went to see a doctor. This man was an unusual character. This man had a cucumber on his left ear, hanging over his left ear. The man had a carrot hanging over his right ear. And he had a banana sticking out of his mouth. He asked the doctor, he said, "What's wrong with me, doc?" The doctor said, "You're not eating right." You know, it's been said that the difference between specialists and general practitioners is that one treats what you have and the other one thinks you have what he treats. You usually wind up seeing three doctors and you end up with three bills when it's all said and done. Another man one time visited a doctor. He had a cold. The doctor prescribed him pills. And the pills didn't help. Man goes back to see the doctor again. And the man told the doctor, he said, "I'm still not well." The doctor said, "I'll tell you what to do." He said, "Go home." He said, "Take a hot shower and stand in front of a draft." Man looked at the doctor. He said, "Well, if I did that," he said, "I'd have pneumonia." The doctor said, "I know, but," he says, "I can cure pneumonia." You know, if this demon-possessed man was alive today, he'd be sent off to a mental institution. The diseased woman in the same chapter would be sent to terminal care ward, and the dead girl that shows up in this chapter would have been sent to a cemetery. But look what happened when Christ came by. Amen. We see that Jesus, of course, sees people through different eyes. The Lord looks at situations differently. You see, mankind looks at people and sees a problem, but God looks at people and sees a potential. There's not a situation in this world today but what God can't take care of. There's not a sin that God can't forgive. There's not a problem but what God can't help us. I don't know what you're struggling with today, whether it's mental, physical, whatever the case might be. Could I recommend to you the greatest physician of all, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is able, you see. And all that's what happens here in this chapter. as we move through this chapter, we see that Jesus is not only the master of the deep. Well, I'm thinking of the last chapter, Heal the Waves, did he? Calm the waves. He's a master of the demonic person. And then he's a master of the disease. If you read the account of that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. Oh, there's so much to see here. He's a master of death. He takes care of the dead. Now, I can give you a verse for that if you're ready for it. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Do you know that God makes alive people that were dead in sin? That's the situation of unsaved people. They're dead in sin. But when they come to Jesus Christ, they're made alive. Every child of God's already been resurrected. You read it here. You know that? You know every Christian's already been resurrected. You say, well, I look around, preacher, I see people today, they're in human bodies, they all look the same, I don't see any difference in their faces. Well, if you're looking in the face of a Christian, you're seeing somebody that's on resurrection ground. You're looking at a person that's already been resurrected spiritually. In other words, God made them alive spiritually when we came to Christ. And that's a good guarantee that we're going to be resurrected bodily too. By the way, he's the first fruits, afterwards they that his are coming, right? Let's go back to this chapter here. Notice the plight of this man. The plight of this man. This man was controlled by demonic forces. This man was in an awful condition. This man was living among the tombs. This man had no rest night or day. This man was controlled by Satan. This man was brutal to himself. He was cutting himself. This man was violent. They had chained him and tried to contain him, but he'd break the chains. This man was like the Bible talks about, the wicked are like the troubled sea. He was troubled. Demonic forces had controlled him, had moved in, and he had no hope. He had no hope. You know, that's where unsaved people are living today and they don't understand it. They're living among the tombs. They're living among the dead because they themselves are dead. And this man, of course, when the devil gets over, takes control, the devil disorientates the mind. The devil causes mental confusion. The devil causes us to not be able to rest. But on the other hand, when Jesus Christ comes in a person's heart and life, God gives us peace. Amen. We can rest. We can have peace. In fact, the Bible talks about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The plight of this man. Man today tries to deal with people in the wrong sort of way. Mankind today does nothing more or less many times than puts a bandage on a wound. That's all it does. It doesn't get to the heart of the matter. For example, today, mankind builds its prisons. We have our jails. We have institutions today. And we have asylums. People push pills to try to get happy. People take potions. People turn to psychology. We don't need a pill. We don't need a psychologist. We don't need a priest. We don't need a program. We need the person of Christ. I thank God today that there are people out there that can give good advice. There are people that are counselors, and there are many good ones. There are people out there that have the ability to provide psychological assistance. And I'm glad for that. They have something to offer. But my friend, here's something that let's not forget. After the psychologists and after the counselors have done all they can do, many people will still find themselves having the worst problem, which is down deeper than what the psychologist can see. It's called sin. The Bible says, for from within, out of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. You see, sin is a problem that has infected people's inward nature, inward side, inward part. And only God can get down deep and can do what needs to be done inwardly. God works inwardly, outwardly. But mankind tries to work from the outside in, and that's not the right approach. Only God can give a new heart. Only the Lord can transplant the person into someone different. Only God can change a person's life. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But God's the author of salvation. This man's plight. This man was hopeless. This man would have died under the control of demons if Jesus hadn't come to the shore of the Gadarenes. Let me take you back a few years. I know a man, and you know him too. He's your pastor. I know a man up until 1968 was living in sin, had no peace, had no real joy, had no real satisfaction in life. And I, like many people, I sought security in things. I sought for happiness in material things, in drinking, things such as that. But I'll tell you, when I sobered up, I was still as miserable as ever. But thank God Jesus came to my shore one time. He came to my Gadarenes. He found me where I was. And when I was lost and hopeless and doomed for hell, thank God Jesus came cross and came to where I was. And Squire Parson sings that song, "He Came to Me." I'll tell you, in my state, I couldn't go to Him. He had to come to me. And that's how it is with God's amazing grace. We don't have to dress up to meet Him. He comes to us and dresses us up when He saves us. The song says, "Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me." It's as we are, we come to Him. But Jesus came to the Gadarenes, the plight of that man. If Christ hadn't come to the tombs where He was, the man would have died in that mess. Note something else. We see the fright of the devils. Verse number 7, the fright of the devils. They cried with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God and that thou torment me not." The fright of the devils. Jesus casts out the demons that were controlling this man, and there is a fright among them. In fact, you know the rest of the story. Those same demons go into a herd, a 2,000 herd of swine, and the swine couldn't handle them. So the swine go over the cliff, and 2,000 of them are drowned. And then, don't you know, it's an interesting thing happened. Those people that controlled, that owned those, that were in the hog business, they got so upset over that. Well, I suppose if I was a pig farmer and I had 2,000 hogs, and something like that happened to them, I'd probably be upset too. But you got to understand something else here, though. Those hogs, or pardon me, that farmer lost his hogs. But there was something worse that he could lose than the hogs. What about his soul? You see, what should have thrilled that man, he should have had the attitude, and of course none of us would probably have it either. He should have said, "I lost the hogs, but look, what happened to that man that was running around those tombs empty? Look what happened to that man when God got a hold of him. We've lost our pigs, but look what that man did, Jesus, to that man that was screaming and in torment and cutting himself, and nobody could control him." If we could only have our eyes opened and understand the greatest miracle of all miracles is not when God created the heavens and the earth. It's not when God made the rivers and the hills and put the stars in space. The miracle of miracles is when God reaches down in condescending grace and saves a sinner. That's the greatest miracle. And if somehow, some way we could see, that means more than anything else, because that means eternity with Jesus Christ. The plight of that man, the fright of those demons, the might of the Savior. Now, I'm not reading any further, but you know of His might. He healed that man. He sent those demons out. And that man, hey, by the way, I wish we had time to really develop this further, but that man, the Bible puts it like this, he's in his right mind. He gets clothed now. And he desires to follow the Lord even. You know, that's what happens when God comes into a person's life. Their mind gets straightened out. He's in his right mind. I suppose you could look at it like this. His mind was made right. We see a picture of the righteousness that he now enjoys because he's clothed now. And you know, the clothing reminds us of the clothing of the righteousness of Christ. We see his reasoning is affected. We see his righteousness is affected. And then he has a right desire. He wants to follow the Lord. That's what happens, isn't it? You want to follow the Lord. And then notice the flight of the swine. They go into the flight. They go over the cliff, as I've already mentioned. Now, let me give you something interesting. What is a legion? The word legion shows up here, doesn't it? You know, Roman legion consists of around 6,000 soldiers. That's what a Roman, if you go back to the times, a Roman legion would have been about 6,000 soldiers. Now, if you do your math, and this is just, I'm making a supposition here. Let's say there were 2,000 pigs that go over the cliff. If you have 6,000 demons, by the way, legion, what's your name? My name is Legion. Could it be there were 6,000 demons? Could it be? Anyway, imagine now those demons going into 20,000 pigs. That's about 3 demons per hog, isn't it? If you do your math, they couldn't handle it. They went over the cliff. You know what happened to them? They committed suicide. Did you get that joy? Listen, that man that was controlled by those demons until Christ came to where he was, it seemed like he could handle those demons being within him better than those hogs. When all of those demons went into those hogs because they said, "We're out of here. We can't handle it." There's a point to be made here. I think the point is this. You know, when it comes to wickedness today in this world today, wickedness, the greatest place of wickedness is in the heart of a human being. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It would remind us of the wickedness of the human heart. And then we see the right mind of the healed. And then we see the slight of the Gadarenes. I love that old song that says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Could you imagine now this old man, this demon-possessed man? Now it's time to go home. In your mind, try to imagine that. He had been away, let's say he had a family. Let's say the man has a wife and kids. Let's say it's been a long time since his wife has seen him. Let's say that the kids have grown up, practically grown up without daddy being around. Where has daddy been? He's been in the tombs. Where has he been? He's been away from home because he's been controlled by sin. But now what happens? Jesus comes to where he is. Jesus restores him. And I believe the man got saved, actually. Now he wants to follow the Lord. But now, Jesus said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you." You know, I get it, Bruce. When I came back from Iraq, Bruce had a plaque made, presented to me, that said, "Go home." Was that "Go home to your friends"? Were you telling me, Bruce, that up until that time I was demon-possessed? I was just picking. But no, here's the point. Go home to your friends. What happened when that man went home? By the way, always keep practical thinking in mind when you try to understand Scripture. It'll mean more to you. This man comes home. I suppose when he comes walking down the lane, I bet the dogs are yapping at his heels. They probably remember their master that kicked him around and abused him. Then don't you know, let's say a child looks out the window, says, "Mom, you're not going to believe who I see. It looks like Dad, but he looks different. He looks different, Mom. Come and look." She comes to the window, she looks out. This time, instead of seeing a face drawn because of anger and sin, she sees a contented look, perhaps a smile on his face. He's coming down the lane. And maybe the kids run and hide when he first walks in the door, because let's say he was vicious and cruel to them. But now, things have changed. He walks in the house now, and he, let's say they've hid from him. He says, "Kids, come out." He said, "I got something to tell you." He says, "I'm a new daddy now." And his wife comes to him and he hugs her, and the family is now once again complete. But what's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. What has happened has not been the effort of that man. What has happened was not the fact that he came to the place in his life where he said, "I can't live like this any longer. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to get rid of the devils myself." I'll tell you what happened. What happened gives full credit to God. What happened was what God did. What happened was when Christ came in. My friend, there's nothing, there's no one, there's not an ability out there in this world today that can ever conjure up peace with God. God has to do it. We have to throw up that white flag of surrender and say, "Lord, I can't handle it alone. I can't make it on my own. I need God's grace. I need God's touch. I need God's help. I can't handle these demons. I can't handle this misery." It takes more than human reformation. It takes the entrance of Christ into a person's heart and life. Oh yes, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I can tell you right now, I can look you in the face and I can tell you're not looking at a perfect person. Far be it. I'm a preacher, but I'm far from being perfect. I put on my shoes the same way you do. I get up, I have my frustrations like you do, and I make my share of mistakes like the rest of this church family. But there's one thing that I can say. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm still not what I used to be. And I'm not all of the time what I ought to be. But thank God I know this. I know that He came to my shore one time. And I know that He took care of my problem. And I know that one day I'm going to be what I'm not now too. When I see Him face to face, when I stand on heaven's shore, when I receive the full blessing of what it means to be justified, because what started out at Calvary will end up on the streets of gold. What started out called justification, we work through sanctification, but one day it's going to be glorification when we're glorified in His likeness. Oh, praise the Lord, He came to my shore. Has it come to your shore yet? Are you still among the tombs? Are you still in a state of misery? Are you here religious but lost? Are you here today still searching for real happiness and real peace and real joy? Could I recommend to you the one that came to where the Gadarenes man was? And He'll do the same for you if you'll but accept Him. Let's bow our heads right now. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.